The seventh Aliyah of Parshas Vayeshev finds Yosef in prison, and he meets the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim. It's a little bit of a discussion when it begins, Vayhi Achar HaDvarim Ha'ela, just how long afterwards did this take place. The Mefarshim have different views, but one way or another, he encounters these individuals, and he recognizes that they are in distress, and we hear in some detail about how he's able to appreciate this and who he inquires as to what is behind their distress. The Pasuk tells us, Pasuk Zayin here, Vayishal Esther Yisei Pharaoh Asher Yitoba Mishmar Beis Adonav Lemor Madua Pneichem Royim Hayom. Why is it that you are in such a bad way? And the Ramban comments that this lengthy description is to praise Yosef, to show us that he was able to talk to them under these circumstances and to discern their mood. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky comments similarly that this is something that is impressive about Yosef, that with all that happened, he's able to care about them. And Rav Shamshon Nafal Hirsch notes in a similar fashion that this is all to show just how smart Yosef was, that he was conscious of all of the moving parts, who they were and what they were doing there, and all of the implications. So he hears about their dreams in great detail, and he interprets their dreams in opposite ways. And there is a fascinating comment in the Talmud Yerushalmi that notes that the Dalet Kosos that we have on Pesach, the Talmud Yerushalmi gives different interpretations as to why it is we have four Kosos, and we're much more familiar with the idea that they parallel the four Lashonos of Geula that we read about in the beginning of Parshas Ve'era, V'hutzesi, V'itzalti, V'ga'alti, V'lakachti. But there is also an opinion in the Yerushalmi that they parallel the four usages of the word Kos that we find in the description of the dream of the Sar HaMashkim, three in his description, and one in Yosef's response. In his description, he says, V'chos paro biyodi, v'akach es hanovim, v'yashchat osam el kos paro, v'atein es hakos al kaf paro, that's three. And when Yosef responds to him two psukim later, he includes the phrase, V'nasata chos paro biado. So we have a total of four references to a kos, and the Yerushalmi says that because of that, we have four kosos on Pesach night. And that's very surprising, hard to understand why here this usage of the word kos four times has anything at all to do with our four kosos on Pesach night. And there is a fascinating drasha on this point by Rav Eliyahu Kalatskin, the great Talmud Chacham, wrote many Svarim, and in his Sefer Chibas Kodesh, so he suggests that there is a message here which addresses another question central to this Aliyah, that here we find that Yosef interprets the two dreams in opposite ways, that he gives the Sar HaMashkim a positive interpretation, and he gives the Sar HaOfim a very negative interpretation. And it's worth wondering, why is that the case, since the Gemara Maseches Brachos does tell us that the one who interprets the dreams has control over what direction the dream will take. So he suggests that it's not absolute, that the one interpreting the dream is guided by the context of the dream and by the nature of the dreamer. And there is also relevance to the fact that one who dreams is influenced by his own character. The Gemara there also says that a person dreams based on the way he is thinking during the day. Accordingly, Yosef was noticing that here the Sar HaMashkim was making repeated references to the kos. This shows that he's paying a lot of attention to his job, that he keeps thinking about the kos that he was responsible for. This shows that he is very aware of this and very conscious of his responsibility, and that he wants nothing more but to go back to his job and to continue taking care of the king's kos. And somebody who's so focused on that is going to certainly go back to his responsibility with great diligence and is going to fix the mistakes that he has made in the past. And this responsibility and this diligence was not at all present in the description of the Sar HaOfim, and therefore Yosef recognized that there was a very different attitude between the two people, and he was forced, so to speak, to interpret the dreams along those lines. And Rabbi Yoel Kalatskin suggests that when we on the Seder night look to reflect upon our own character, and we point in the direction of a future geula. So we want to show our own aspiration to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with continued redemption, and therefore we tap into that same aspiration that the Sar HaMashkim had to return to his king, to return to the service of his king, and that Yosef was able to intuit from his description. We channel that same kind of aspiration into our Dalet Kosos on Pesach night, and we show that we also aspire to be with our king in a future redemption, a fascinating interpretation. So in any event, Yosef is able to give this positive interpretation to the Sar HaMashkim, and he asks that the Sar HaMashkim should put in a good word for him with the king and should help him be rescued from this jail. And unfortunately, that does not work out as well, because it takes a long time for Yosef to indeed be rescued. It takes another 2 years, because the parsha ends by telling us that the Sar HaMashkim does not remember, v'lo zachar Sar HaMashkim es Yosef v'yishkacheihu. He doesn't remember and he forgets. And Rashi here tells us that this is a consequence of his having asked, that there was something negative in that, that this was not a reflection of proper emunah. And that's a difficult idea to understand. Even though we're normally told that we are supposed to make efforts on our own behalf and not rely on a nes, here Rashi tells us that because Yosef relied on him to remember him, so he was forced to stay 2 more years in jail. And here there's a reference to the pasuk in Tehillim, Ashrei hagever asher sam Hashem miftacho v'lofana el rahavim, that he shouldn't turn his attention to those who are haughty and arrogant and can't be trusted, but rather should put all of their faith in Hashem. So here, this is difficult to understand. We know that normally we are expected not to rely on miracles, and we are asked to put efforts forward on our own behalf. It does seem clear that Yosef is being held to a very high standard here, as tzaddikim often are. And this is a topic of a discussion in the Mefarshim. Rashiv of Kerem, the Rav Goldwicht, has a lengthy discussion here, going through many possibilities. The Chazon Ish, in his Sefer Emunah Bitachon, in Perek Dalet, suggests that perhaps actually what Yosef was doing here was actually an expression of Yeish, of giving up hope, because he couldn't really have expected that a person of low character, such as the Sar HaMashkim, really would have expressed gratitude to him, and therefore by asking him it was a expression of desperation. Perhaps it's also noteworthy to comment that Chazal and the Shmos Rabbah connect Yosef's experience in jail here to the fact that he spoke Lashon Hara about his brothers. We commented in the earlier Aliyahs that there is some debate in the commentaries as to what's described in the beginning of the Parsha of Yosef bringing negative reports about his brothers, as to whether there was a Avera of Lashon Hara there or not. Some understood that he was justified, while many others, such as Rashi and the Chafetz Chaim, saw negative Lashon Hara in his behavior. And here the Medrash suggests that that Lashon Hara led to him being confined to this prison for years that paralleled the brothers that he disparaged. And if that's the case, so then the extension of 2 years seems to connect to that initial Lashon Hara that he spoke about his brothers. And we mentioned in the previous Aliyah that when the wife of Potiphar slandered him and framed him, that Rav Soloveitchik could comment that that itself was somewhat of a retribution to him for having spoken badly about his brothers, and that helped him to appreciate the effect that speaking negatively about people could have. If there is a connection, then perhaps the idea is that at the beginning of the Parsha, then in the house of his father, Yosef felt that he had to get an edge politically by disparaging his brothers, which is specifically what the Afikayam, when he suggested that Yosef was justified in his speech, the Afikayam argued that he was not doing that, but those who understood that Yosef was not justified, perhaps that was what Yosef was doing and needed to have his behavior corrected through this experience, according to those who understood that this was a tikkun for that misbehavior and that understanding. So if that's the case, so the actions that he undertook that was looking for political advantage were perpetuating that character flaw that need to be fixed. So here we find that he's in prison, and this is an opportunity to have a tikkun for whatever mistakes that he made before, and he finds himself in a position to help these individuals who are dejected, and he can interpret their dreams. So once he does that, and he helps them without looking for any further compensation, that could be a tikkun for whatever had happened until now. But once he makes that transactional and says, okay, I've done this for you, please now you help me, that undoes the tikkun to a certain extent, and that causes his sentence to be extended. And even though this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had put before him in order to help him indeed take him to the next stage, once he undermines that by making it overtly transactional, that creates an extension of the sentence, and perhaps that was his mistake.